Our gospel reading today comes from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 15, verses 1 to 5, the vine and the branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love.
That was the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ, the Word. As Billy has said, I'm Tony Gerritsen, one of the retired clergy of the parish. My privilege to reflect on that scripture passage as the first PowerPoint slide comes up. Let's pray. Most loving God, give to these words energy, life, and truth. Amen. In 2006, the then Bishop of the Diocese appointed me Archdeacon for Mission. Didn't know quite what he was getting. At the induction service, Karen Kemp preached on this same text. She really made, in the course of 20 minutes, 3 points. The first was, remain grafted in Christ. Secondly, this journey requires each of us to be pruned. And thirdly, as Archdeacon for Mission, I was being pruned so that I could in turn help prune the church. Why? So that there was new growth. She then gave me a gift to remind me of it. 17 years down the tracks, not too bad. Well, we'll hear a bit more of that in a second. Now, this doesn't seem to be working. Can you just put that so it's in? Oh, there we go. Right, now if you come into our gate and look to the left, you'll see a grapevine. There we go, and it's supposed to be running horizontally along a steel structure. But some of the grapes have a life of their own. We're not doing well here. And you'll see that one of them has gone up there, so we need to talk to the secateurs, not the owners. Grapes that are not well looked after, I think we're going to have to do this manually, grapes that are not looked after well really have a bad hair day and should in fact be looking like, yes please, that one. Now if we don't do that, next one, this is going to be a painful journey, the grapes are like that as opposed to, next one, can we just lift it up or put it up on, yes? Turn it off and on, and yeah, no, plenty of battery this end. Now, if the grapes are good, we end up with a good quality vino. We all know that. Now, Jesus used local examples to make his point, to tell his stories, his parables, to make his challenges to his listeners, to show us how we are meant to be and how we need to grow the kingdom. Remain in me, he said. Stay grafted into me. Be pruned for me. Be fruitful for me. Now, Jesus wants only the very best for you and me. He wants us to be fruitful. He wants and knows that pruning is challenging. When you prune a vine, there is sap that seeps out. There's pain. in that process. But we need to be open to what God may be doing in us. We need to listen to what God is doing and to listen prayerfully. As I did this sermon, this homily, I had to prune bits out of it. Why? Because I just got a nudging. Not appropriate, TG. So we move on. Now, why do we do this pruning? Because we don't want Jesus reflecting on us like that. But we all know that pruning can be painful, very painful. December 1982, the end of my first year at St John's Theological College as a student, the warden got me in, as he did with each of the students. Essentially, he said I was missing the point. I was so angry. I'd only ever failed fourth form English in mid-year. I had a master's degree, for goodness sake. I student-side, I was so angry. I actually became incredibly unwell. I had to see the doctor, I had to have counselling. And as a result of that, did some counselling training. It was tough going. I finally got over myself, and the pruning was, of course, essential. We are pruned to produce new growth. And that pruning that he did resulted 30 years later in me sitting in his chair. 54 years ago, I took this lady out, well, in July of this year, I took this lady out on our first date. We have polar personality types. Gillian is my strongest advocate. She is my most honest critic. She keeps me on the straight and narrow. She nudges me, and she kicks me sometimes, metaphorically speaking. She's the one who hears first from God when there's a big move ahead for us. She challenges and offers a different perspective into my life. Yes, I need the pruning. Do I like it? No. Do I value it immensely? Well, after the event. She's an amazing woman, a lucky man. Pruned for growth by my wife. Many years ago, someone told me, many years ago, I'm pleased to say, that I didn't know my Bible. Well, I coughed and I spluttered and I frothed about that. They were dead right. And so I took a lot of energy to make sure that I knew it better than I did. I started reading from start to finish. It's a bit turgid in places, as many of you know. I tried different versions of the Bible. I coughed and I spluttered, as I said. Now, carry on, Tony. I got CDs, and I had those CDs and tapes in the car and when I was wallpapering a house so that I could listen to big chunks of the Bible. And one of the beauties was you see Paul in a very different light when you listen to him for 3 hours. As he goes through, or as the person read through his letters. I tried memorising texts on bits of paper, you know, the verse on one side, the text on the other. And of course, there was no better way than teaching it in the home group environment at that stage. So, all that was important pruning in my life. Why? To bear more fruit. Now, you and I are part of the body of Christ, and we need each other, and we need each other in this pruning, this producing life together process, and it's tough, but we have to do it. But within us, there is a deep worry. If I go to challenge somebody, the challenge I've got is, will you still like me if I challenge you? Will we remain friends? It's not easy stuff. So how do we prune? Well, the first thing is we've got to be assertive, not aggressive. So we don't go with a finger pointed like this. We begin here. Begin with how you're feeling. Tony, I'm feeling sad, confused, upset, because and you explain what it is. So you begin with yourself, not pointing a finger at the other person. And sometimes a helpful question can be this: help me to understand why. Help me understand why you're doing this, or why you choose to do this, or whatever it might be. But we must prune prayerfully. A lot of time goes into the preparation of praying, God, how do I best approach this person? What's the best way? What's the best time? What's the best situation? Sometimes you've just got to get on with it. You've got to go and knock on a person's door. In 1967, we moved from pound shillings and pence to decimal currency. I was 13 at this stage, and my father, I had noticed, a wonderful, delightful, good, kind, honest, and modest man, a Dutchman, came out in 1950 on one of those Dutch ships that came out. And I asked Dad the question, Dad, why? Why did you always put 10 shillings in the plate? And why are you now still just putting a dollar in the plate? Maybe somehow 10 shillings seem more than a dollar, you know, 10 as opposed to one. And Dad just sort of sat there and he thought, oh. Because we did understand inflation in those days as well. And so just by a little 13-year-old saying that, All Saints Palmerston North ended up with a bit more money in the pew plate each week. Just a simple way of pruning. Pruned to bear fruit. One of the jobs I had at one stage was to ask by the bishop to go into a parish that was struggling. The parish was incredibly dysfunctional, and I went to the first vestry meeting. Now, this is not an exact snapshot of the vestry members, and there were some women there. This is from the 1957 movie 12 Angry Men. But that image kind of, in a way, summarises what the vestry was like, because they were essentially, sitting on either side of the table, throwing bombs at each other. Not exactly in love, either. So I said to them this, I said, right, next time you will come here, schoolmaster and me, you will come here half an hour early, and I will provide wine and cheese, and we will spend some time relating to each other. Then you will, each of you, share something that's happened in your life in the last week. The body language was interesting. But wait, there's more. I said, and then you will go around and you will share something that God has done in your life in the past month since we last met. At the next AGM, a lot of vestry members changed. And I asked them the basic question, I mean, why do you think you're on vestry? And the answer is, vestry members are the spiritual governors of the parish. They're not there to lob bombs at each other. So it was a bit of pruning there, pruning around their role, their relationships, their fellowship, and their hospitality, or lack of it. Pruned, how? Well, that happens in a small group environment. It happens, hopefully, through some sermons you hear in your respective churches. It happens when we pray and allow God to speak into our lives. It happens when we're reading the Bible and a passage just seems to glow on the page. It happens when a friend asks, why? It happens when we're confronted, we're challenged about our behaviour. And it happens when the still small voice, the inner conviction, shows us a different way. I want us to pause for a minute, and I want you to ask yourself, you might like to close your eyes, think about, how has the Master pruned you recently? Think of the occasion. What was the issue? And how are you different now? Because you see, the thing is that God, Jesus, is wanting to prune us to make us more productive for kingdom growth. What about the parish? You know, what do we need over the forthcoming 5 years? Well, is it going to be a little pair of secateurs that we need? Or is it something a bit more like this? We've got an AGM ahead of us. We made some huge decisions last year. It's going to require pruning and thinking and challenge and prayer. So we're going to have to ask ourselves, what as a parish do we need to prune? What needs to go so that new growth can happen? And sorry, as Buzz and Woody would say, but wait, there's more. Seriously, more? Come on. Afternoon tea time. Well, yes, there is more. Post-pruning, you see, these ripe grapes have a bit of a tough journey. They get cut or pulled or torn from the vine. They're crushed and pressed. They're fermented without oxygen, no air. They're clarified and purified. And they're aged in a bottle for a long period of time. That's painful. But the journey of the prime grape, of the top grape, always needs additionally some other things. It needs sunlight, needs fertilizer, and it needs water. And in human terms, we would call that affirmation or praise. The two thumbs up stuff that we need to be giving each other on this journey as well. Because it's a tough journey. Jesus might have promised us a rose garden, but it was one with thorns, remember. There are challenges. And so we all need to be open to be challenged and affirmed at the same time. So the question really for us now is just again, sit just for a minute. Who is it who's praised you lately? Who is it who's affirmed you? Who shone warm light on you? And you might like to give thanks to God for that person. Because you see, to wrap up, all this pruning, sunning, fertilising, watering, pressing, fermenting, ageing, bottling is to produce good fruit, top quality wine, kind of memories of Jesus' first miracle in Cana of Galilee. It's all why Jesus used the image of the vine. We need to be deeply grafted into him, but also be open to being pruned. Do enjoy your next glass of wine or grape juice. Amen.